you want to sing with us on the third verse, it's in the red hymn book in front of you, 577. Be strong in the Lord, 577. If you'd like to join us on the third verse.
Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Your mighty commander will vanquish the foe. Fear not the battle, for the victory is always His. He will protect you wherever you go. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for He is your God. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours.
And rejoice, for the victory.
Amen. Let us turn in our hymn books. Hymn number 32 in the blue hymn, or To God Be the Glory in the blue hymn book. We'll find it for you. Apologize, a little bit of a late start today. It was good to have our missionaries with us this summer. We're glad that they are here. Our assistant pastoral intern. To God Be the Glory, and the page number is 52. Let's all stand together as we sing this song.
To God be the glory, great things He has done.
Without Him, we wouldn't be here. Without Him, we wouldn't be saved. And so we're so thankful for our salvation through Jesus, for God creating us. So let us give Him the glory on the third verse.
Great things He has taught us. Great things He has done. And great are rejoicing to Jesus the Son. Praise the Lord, when the earth hears His
together in prayer as we begin. Brother Daniel, would you lead us in prayer this morning? Amen. And dear Heavenly Father, we also pray for our missionaries around the world, that you just be with them, be with the Bruners in the Philippines, the Larges in Nicaragua, the Kellers in Russia, Lord, that you keep them safe as they preach the gospel in the foreign field. We pray for all Christians all around the world that are born again and faithfully preaching and teaching your word, that you would just keep them safe, as we know that persecution is increasing in the world against Christianity, but we know that this is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Lord, help us to stay strong. We pray for our government, for our president, his advisors, our Congress, our representatives, our senators. We pray for this bill that's going through the Senate right now. That we pray that this would not pass, the Equality Act, which is not equality, but putting down free speech in this country and the freedom of religion to believe the Bible and to preach the Bible. Lord, we pray that you'd help this not to pass, that you would be with the senators and the president, that they would see through this scheme of not providing equality, but it provides a sin with an open license and sin with a protected class here in America. Lord, help us not to protect sin in America, because we know your word says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Lord, we pray that you'd help keep the devil and his demons from going this forward. And we pray you just bless this service today, Lord, that all that is said and done would be honored and glorified to your holy name. We pray for Pastor Logan, that you keep him safe while he's away. We pray you'd be with the Hodges as they leave this week. You keep them safe on their trip. We pray you'd also be with Tricia and Evan as they are going out to Ethan's wedding. Lord, we pray you'd keep them safe as well. Lord, we thank you for bringing in Brother Daniel and his wife Hannah with us. Lord, we are so thankful for them being able to minister here and serve here at Northfield Baptist this summer. Lord, we are so grateful for their willingness to come and be a part of this. Lord, we pray you bless all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn back to our hymn book. We sing the song, O Worship the King. What page is that one? Oh, yes, that's right, that's right. Oh, worship the King. And that is number 11 in the Blue Hymn Book, number 11. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth, and men and boys on the third, and ladies and girls on the fourth. Everyone on the first.
Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious above. We gratefully praise His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the ancient of days, the brilliant in splendor, and girded.
Thank you. and girls on the 4th.
Well,
everyone! Thankful for Jesus being our Redeemer and friend. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to our Bibles for our scripture reading as we read the scriptures this morning. Psalms 71 is where we are. Our scripture reading, and I'm going to ask Brother Danny Rivera to come and read for us Psalm 71. And then right after that, Brother Hodge will come to recommend some members for membership. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 12. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 12. Let us all stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. And then Proverbs 6, 1 to 5. Proverbs 5. Psalm 71, 1 through 12.
Psalm 71, 1 through 12. I'll start on the first and we'll read it responsively, and then together on the 12th. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me.
Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress.
Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men.
For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth.
By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee.
I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge.
Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day.
Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth.
For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together.
Saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him altogether.
O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help.
Let's turn over to Proverbs
5, 15 to 18.
Proverbs 5, 15 to 18. Proverbs 5, 15 to 18. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well.
Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets.
Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee.
Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth.
Amen. The Lord bless his word to our hearts.
Amen. You may be seated. What a blessing. The Word of God always stirs the heart of any of His children. I trust that your heart was stirred as we read that this morning. We just want to, at this time, have Deacon Hodge come and recommend Brother Daniel and his wife Hannah Rivolo for us. So, Brother Hodge, would you come?
I am.
Thank you.
be a mess, the Bible will cost the price for myself and mentor Brother Daniel and his wife. And we would like to recommend them to his church. Now, of course, we ask that we give a testimony, as to how, and then we will see.
Well, I was telling him, I was positive after preparing him and sharing my testimony. He took me out in the airport, so a long trip, all the chance to speak and say and have a wonderful conversation. And I was glad that I hear what he was telling me, because nowadays it's different, every church is different, and even a Baptist church can be different one from another. So it's important to know each other and to see the experience we have with the Lord. As I was saying, these days some people are confused with salvation. And so I was telling him about our lives. We come from Christian family. And actually that Christian family came from another Christian family. And that Christian family, so we have a long story in our family, for me and my wife too. And that can be sometimes even, it's a blessing, but it's a little bit hard for when you are a kid. Because you assume, you think, I'm a Christian. My dad is a Christian. My mom is a Christian. My grandmother was a Christian. My grandmother was a Christian. So I'm a Christian. And I believe everything that the Bible says. Of course we believe, when we're sharing with the pastor, of course we believe the scriptures. Of course we believe that Jesus is the Savior. But there is a point in life when you have to make that your own. That has to be part of you. I think when you start understanding, when you understand that you are a sinner, even if you come from a Christian family, is when you desperately need Jesus as your Savior. You are living in a church, and you are believing that you are not taking that step to make Jesus your own Savior. So, thank God the Lord led us, and I was around 17, when even Danny knows the story, you know Danny, my friend and brother, I told him this several times, even coming from school, to my home, I said, forgive me everything, but I never said to the Lord, forgive me for my sin. So I did, just coming from school to my house, and even if nothing so glorious, just going home from school to home, I said to the Lord, the Lord works in your life and leads you to that point of repentance when sin turns to be something bad. When you don't understand sin, we don't need a Savior. Mm-hmm. That's why sin and repentance are the two forbidden words in the modern church. Mm-hmm. If you pay attention, I hope you don't watch on TV modern preacher, but if just, you know, changing the channels, you see they will never speak about repentance, they will never speak about sin. Mm-hmm. And the essence of the gospel is that. That's why Jesus is so glorious. We have a terrible end. Hell is real. Mm-hmm. And through Jesus, we can be saved from that. That's amazing. We are not afraid of death. We are coming the plane here, and we have to take three planes. One plane, one other plane. And imagine a plane from Argentina to Atlanta. And a lot of turbulences, and you have a lot of shaking. And in one moment, I have to grab the seat on the front, because most, you know that. Mm-hmm. And you hear it. So it's kind of a little scary. Mm-hmm. And I said, what an opportunity. Mm-hmm. To be thankful that we have the Lord.
Amen.
If something happens, let it be. I will await her heaven with my Savior. Amen. Of course it's scary, but it's just simple. A trial. Give us the opportunity, an infirmity, a trial. Give us a chance to say, what? This is here. I have an eternal destination. Thanks to Jesus. Now Jesus is glorious. He's not the one who comes only to heal you or to help you in your on your trials. Of course he will do it because he's so merciful. But the main thing is he saved my soul from hell. And he loves me so much, makes me his friend. Wow. That's the gospel. And that was my experience. So I let my wife, she's a little bit nervous about her English, so be patient. So.
My English is not so good. I'm Hannah, and I grew up in a Christian family. My parents came from Germany to Argentina. And my first language was German. My second language, Spanish. My third language, English. So I remember when I was a kid that I asked my mom, Mom, you are saved, you're a Christian, my father is a Christian, but I can go to heaven because you are a Christian. This was, I remember this. And she said, no, you need to repent.
Amen.
And this is, I grew up in the church and in camp, in the summer camp, and I remember the Lord spoke to me, and I remember that I was crying because I realized that I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. I'm broken. And Lord, I want to say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So this is my life. He keeps giving me a knowledge through the Bible, through his word. And I'm very happy to be a Christian.
Amen. 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 Amen.
You understand everything?
Yes.
Now that you have all the testimony, I'd like to recommend you.
And you were both baptized by immersion?
Yes, yes. Okay.
After salvation.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to ask volunteer for recommending for members. Not just. So we have two hands of the customers, two ladies, Karen, Carol. And the little favor, can you keep a raised right hand? So, okay, I'm fine. Thank you so much. We are recommended to a church.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anyone want to encourage them? Just a few brief ones. We don't have much time. Anyone want to encourage Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah?
Beautiful. Thank you, see Danny Rivera's testimony come to life. I've heard about how Daniel was so influencing Danny when he was searching for the Lord. now to see it in person and to live it in real life is a wonderful thing. To God be the glory.
Thank you so much, and we look forward to getting to know them better. Come on back tonight, 7 o'clock, because Brother Daniel Rivolo will be preaching for us in church. I've been really just blessed by the communication we had yesterday on the way back from the airport. I know he is a brother of like faith and practice, and it's just such a blessing to hear God using him. So I know you'll be encouraged. So come on back tonight at 7 o'clock. Then just by way of announcements, does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you, one of the bulletins. There are many different themes and colors on those, and it's a nice message on each biblical message. So just raise your hand if you need a bulletin, and we'll get one to you. Good to have some visitors here with us today, and we are glad that you are here visiting with us. Could have some first-time visitors as well. Welcome, brother. Would you introduce you and your wife for us?
Yes, my name is Jerry Humphreys, and this is my wife, Nina.
Okay.
And we are just moving back up here from Virginia.
Okay, welcome. All right. Jerry, and what's your wife's name?
Mimi.
Mimi, okay. Jerry and Mimi, very, very good to have you with us. Fresh from Virginia, huh? What part of Virginia?
Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, okay. All right. So we are glad to have you here in South Jersey. It's a nice area, and wonderful. Oh, what town are you from?
Well, we were actually in Kedmore, just on the edge of Charleston.
Okay, okay. And just coming up here to Northfield, Egg Harbor Township area? Ocean City.
Undetermined,
okay, all right. So, pray for Jerry and Mimi as they move into the area, and we're blessed that you have visited with us today. And then I believe Tommy, you have a friend here with us. Go ahead and introduce your friend, Tommy.
Danny.
All right, welcome, Danny. Good to have you. A third Danny today. So we got Danny 1, Danny 2, Danny 3. All right. Welcome, Danny. Good to have you with us. All right. Any friend of Tommy's is a friend of ours. So, amen. We're glad to have you here. Any other first-time visitors? Okay. This time, we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. On the insert page, inside page there, continue to pray for Albert Washington. Brother Darnell and I went to see him on Thursday. He had his kidney removed last Monday. He is doing very well. He had a tumor there. They did not determine if it was cancer yet, but they did take out the kidney. So pray for Albert and his recovery. Pray for Angela Straw. We also got to see her and Matilda, and she's doing well. So they're hoping to come out this next Sunday to church. Then also pray for VBT preparations this week. We had 3 call in for already to sign up, pre-register for VBT. That's outside of our church. So we're so thankful that God is moving in our community to bring people in, to hear the gospel, to trust Christ as Savior. And every year, the Lord has just, he hasn't let us down yet. Every year, at least 5 people have trusted Christ as Savior in our Vacation Bible School. And teens and kids. So we look forward to another good year of serving the Lord and then helping those who are saved to grow. And that's the second job as Christians, is not only where to replant ourselves and reproduce ourselves, but to then disciple them in Jesus. Then come on back tonight. Brother Daniel Rivolo will be preaching for us. And then right after church, we'll be decorating the church for VBT. We're turning the church into a science lab. It's going to be a lot of fun. And just a good time of fellowship together as we decorate the church, and we look forward to that. Then, right after the morning service, we just want to just have a real brief planning meeting. Won't take long. That way we can get Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah up to date and anything else we need to talk about. Just a real brief meeting right after church. If you'd like to be a part of Vacation Bible Time, we invite anyone to stay with us right after service. And we need all the help we can get as we go forward for the Lord in this ministry. Then also, if you would like to host the Rivolos for dinner, we need different host homes through the summer. That way they get to know us better, and in return, we are blessed by just the wonderful, warm Christian fellowship. And so there's a dinner calendar on the back table. Can we start that around on one side? And so as it comes to you, if you're able to, you can just sign in the date, the day, and dinner is, they're flexible anytime between 5 and 7. Whenever you have dinner, feel free to have them over to your house, or if you want to meet them here at the church and then take them out to a restaurant, or you can have dinner right here in the church kitchen. Those are the three options as they work here for the Lord this summer. Then if anyone could bring some lunch meat, cheese, bread, lettuce, and tomato for lunches for the Rivolos as well as Darnell, if we can have some volunteers for that. That's also on the calendar there at the top. Just sign up if you can bring some of those items, and that will help with their lunches. All right, and this Thursday, I looked at the weather this week. The best day for setting up the fair. We have a nice big fair outside, and the kids love it. That brings a lot of attention from the community, helps bring people in. So we'll be setting that up on Thursday morning at 9:30. So how many of you young people and adults can help us with the fair? Okay, great, excellent. We need all help as possible. And if you need a ride, let us know. And meet here at 9:30, and we'll be done probably around lunchtime, and we will feed you lunch in that time that day. So as a thank you for helping us with getting the fair set up, and then Camp Calvary Summer Camp is July 8th through the 12th in a couple weeks. So if you are interested in that, that's how Sister Hannah got saved. It's a wonderful thing. I remember hearing my dad preach when I was a kid at camp. Definitely was a big instrument in me going forward for God after I was saved, making spiritual decisions, putting off sin, putting on biblical decisions. So the flyers are on the back table, and young people, keep earning money so you can go to camp this year. And at this time, we'll ask our ushers, and if anyone would like to sponsor a camper, maybe you can give some toward a camper coming to camp this year. That would be a great blessing. There are many that want to go, but not all are able to go due to finances. So if you would like to sponsor a young person to go to camp this year, that would be a great blessing. Just mark that on your check or on your envelope, camp scholarship. That would be a great blessing to someone. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. God says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That God has given us all things that we have, including the energy to make money, and all he asks is for that tithe, that portion of our giving, to go back to him, and sure enough, he will bless us richly in return. He will make our money to stretch. And so let us bow together in prayer as we give to God this morning.
Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being in this your house this day. And we thank you for the fact that you do give us everything that we need. You don't turn around and do the job for us, because if you did, then we would be more or less useless. But we thank you, Lord, that you are the total engineer in charge of all this, and that each and everything that's brought to your glory should be done through your will. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to keep a watchful eye on the offerings here in this work.
Amen.
Because sometimes we get a little bit rattled when we see the aggregate of our expenses coming very close to, or sometimes a little bit beyond that which comes in the offering. We just ask, Lord, that you would allow nothing to get out of control.
Amen.
And that you would continue to provide in the fashion that you would have to provide in order for this work to go as far as you would have it to go. And we just ask, Lord, that if there's some way that we can find additional ways to support this work, that you would show these things to us.
Amen.
And that you would empower us to do it. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to suit a blessing to each gift as well as to each giver, as each one seeks your face in the manner of our giving this morning. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Back in our hymn book, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, before our special music this morning. Just a Closer Walk with Thee, wonderful hymn about staying close to our Lord Jesus Christ through life, that He always is close to us, and it's our job to stay close to Him. And that number is, okay, it's not in there. Must be up. Okay, so we have it on the projector. Great. Okay. And let's all stand together if you're physically able to as we sing.
Just a closer walk with Thee, granted Jesus is my plea.
I'm sorry, I started on the chorus. Let's start on the verse.
I am weak, but Thou art strong.
Everybody, everything else. Very good.
The rest of us, let's turn our Bibles this morning, and we'll show just a snippet of this. All we have time for is 1 minute of last year's VBT. Julia Rivera put this together. As we turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 3, Proverbs 3, go ahead.
Follow and discover God's design for you. In the dark shadows, trust the Father, for His love will see you through. In the operation arctic, with the fire and the God, we are on a great adventure. Savior at our side, on with operation.
Fire.
On with operation, our care.
You say the teens and kids compete against each other. Do some fun food games.
On the highest, lonely mountain peak, or in the darkest valley deep, trust the Lord, He'll not abandon.
Praise the Lord for each one of our adults who help teach the Bible. Today, the Bible lesson will then be closed with a
This pride and selfishness we hold inside. Though we were all condemned, we had a loving friend who came to save us. He lived a perfect life and gave the blind their sight, fulfilled the things foretold. He humbly took his cross to fight to save.
inside your heart you'll find an enemy within, who always feels important and looks down on other men. But do not let your flesh prevail, or always at the end he'll trip you up and knock you down and drop you into sin. Oh, pride, go before
us. So we have a lot of fun. That's all we have time for now. Proverbs chapter 3 gives you a little glimpse into the great time that we can have. We can have actually the greatest time because we're Christians and we know how to have fun, and it's wholesome fun. The world, when it has fun, it thinks the vices of the world and in the excesses, and it's not fun at all. It actually turns into heartache. But as Christians, we can have the most fun because it's wholesome and it's God honoring and keeping God at the center of all that we do. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we are, starting in verse 7, and let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word. We pray you'd speak to our hearts even now. We pray that you'd fill me with thy spirit, that I may speak forth your truth and your truth only. We pray for each Christian that is here, that you'd help each one of us to desire to be spirit-filled Christians, that we would not be hearers of the word only, but hearers and doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We just finished with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 last week, and Proverbs 3, 1 to 6. Now we're in verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. This morning we're going to look at how to be led by God. How to be led by God. That we run into many Christians who are struggling with the leading of the Lord, and they don't know why their life doesn't seem to be falling into place for them, and why God seems so distant, and why he's not leading them. And so we have to ask the question as Christians. We live in a very confusing age if you look in the Bible, at Bible chronology, we're in the last days of the last days of the last days. Okay, John said already in the Gospel of John, or First John, he said that we are in the last days. So the church age, ever since the church age started 2,000 years ago, when Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," we have been in the last days but as we come to see the church age closing, our dispensation, before the time of the Lord's coming in the rapture and the second coming of the Lord and the tribulation and all those things, we see that there is so much confusion. And I know Brother Daniel alluded to some of the confusion. You know, so many churches. There's so many churches out there. But the sad thing is that the modern churches today, is they're not preaching Bible truth. They're leaving out very important words: repentance, sin, confession, you know, salvation. They're leaving out the importance of the Word of God in our life, not just parts of it, but the whole counsel of God. So we see symptoms of a greater problem, and the greater problem that we're seeing as we live in the Laodicean, where literally that word Laodicea means people rule by the people. And that's what we're seeing today, is the pastors are falling prey to, well, we'll give the people what they want. The average Christian, they're not reading their Bible, they're not praying, they're not really faithful to God, and so they want what they want, so let's give them what they want. They want entertainment. They don't want to feel, they don't want to hear the hymns, or they don't want to hear a convicting message, so we'll loosen everything down for them, give them what they want. But you know what? That rule by the people is exactly what was prophesied by God. How Jesus said in the that he says, when I come, will there be faith found on the earth? And that's what we're missing. The key ingredient in the Christian, in modern day born again Christianity, you know, is faith. Where has faith gone? You know, faith in God, that he, not only that he saves us, but that he keeps us, and that he will help us to grow, and that we can be led by God if we will just faithfully follow him in faith. Where is the faith? And that's what I believe is the huge missing ingredient today. Faith is lacking in the average Christian. in the pew and the average pastor in the pulpit that he says, well, you know, if I preach the Bible, people may not like it. They may get offended. They may leave. They may this. And so fear is ruling the day in modern day Christianity, and that's exactly how Satan wants it. And that's exactly how we see everything is moving toward a cashless society, moving toward the mark of the beast and the Antichrist rising up, ruling all the world's economies. Why is it? Because that's exactly what Jesus said is going to happen. So here we see we don't have to be a part of that crowd that's literally going toward the one world church, going back to Rome, going back to pagan, paganism. We don't have to be a part of that. Here in modern day Christianity today, we can still be a part of a thriving, growing biblical church. And a thriving, growing, missionary-minded Christianity. That's what the Bible is. That's what the New Testament is. It's a thriving, growing, spirit-filled biblical Christianity. And that's what we need today. And so here we see in Proverbs 3, verse 7, we see the ingredients, how to be led by God. Number one, we see fear God. Fear God and run from sin. Okay? How to be led by God? Fear God and run from sin. We need to have a healthy fear of God, because if we don't, we will have a very dim view of Him. If we don't have a healthy view of God, a biblical view of God, we will fall prey to what so many Christians are viewing God as. Well, God, He just accepts anything that I can give Him. And, well, if I don't read my Bible this week, and if I skip church next week, it doesn't really matter. Well, you know what? You don't get that attitude from the Bible. You don't get that attitude from reading God's Word each day. You get that attitude from not reading God's Word each day. Not praying. Not walking in the Spirit. Not being filled with the Spirit. That's where that attitude comes from. It's a lack of faith. Why? Because we're not in the Word of God. Okay? And so many Christians, and even in good churches, we can fall prey to this attitude well, you know, God is... He's my buddy. He just accepts whatever I want to give Him. No, that's not the case. You look at God, all from Genesis to Revelation, He has strict, and He demands strict obedience to His commands. Okay? That Cain and Abel brought their offering to God. And, you know, Adam and Eve must have taught their sons, you know, the proper way to give an offering to God. And how you come. You come in fear and soberness, and, you know, God kicked us out of the garden because we sinned. We said, we'll just eat the tree of the knowledge of fruit and good and evil, and sure enough, God said no, and we fell into sin. And as a result, we had to be separated from God. We couldn't walk and talk with Him every day anymore, and as a result, now He kicked us out of that beautiful garden where we didn't have to work. We didn't have to sweat with our brow, and now we have to work by the sweat of our brow, and childbearing is very painful now. And all these things. And so Adam and Eve must have taught Cain and Abel, hey, you better do as God says. God says, bring an offering. Bring that animal with the blood to be shed. And so sure enough, Cain, Abel goes to his flock, and he grabs the best lamb and brings that and offers that as an offering to God. Cain says, well, yeah, I should go and talk to my brother and get one of the lambs, but I want to do what I want, and I've got some beautiful fruits and vegetables here, and I'm going to bring my best fruits and vegetables. I'm going to offer that to God because that's what I want to do, and I know God will accept anything. Cain did not have a fear of God because he never had faith in God. He never trusted the Messiah to save him from his sins that was promised to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15. He never did that. He never appropriated the blood of God's Messiah to come for his sin. And so as a result, he came in his own good works. Cain started the religion of good works. You realize that? The religion of good works and working your way to heaven is not new. It's very old. It started all the way back with rebellion, with Cain. Cain said, I'll just give God whatever I want to give, and I'll work my way to heaven. I'll work my way to be accepted. And as a result, God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. And what happened? Cain then got angry. Instead of getting angry at his sin, which he should have done, right? Okay, fear the Lord and depart from evil. But the verse says, we need to get angry at our sin. Why? Because our sin is very wicked in God's sight. Our sin is what is keeping us from getting close to God again. Okay, so if we want to be led by God, we need to fear God and run from sin. Cain never, even after he was judged by God, even after God put that mark on Cain that no one should kill him, if anyone killed him, they knew that they'd be judged by God, you know, very harshly. But Cain never repented, never trusted the Lord. And as a result, Cain is in hell today, burning forever in the lake of fire. Cain is a byword for those who rebel against God in the book of Jude. And so we see that we should not be wise in our own eyes. We need to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Remember, there's always a blessing accompanying these verses. What's the blessing if we will stay sensitive to sin? And as soon as the Lord convicts us of our sin, we confess it, forsake it, get it right with God. 1 John 1:9, still in the Bible. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What happens when we do that as we walk with God? What's the blessing in verse 8? Health. Good. It shall be health to thy navel. Our navel, it represents our belly area. That's where the sustenance comes and goes down into. You know, and so if we want to have good health and good eating, this is a general principle. We will have good health if we fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What are they finding out in scientific studies every day, every year? How important is the marrow of the bone? It's the life of the bone, okay? What happens in that marrow of the bone? Cells are made. If we didn't have blood cell, when we went through what we went through last year with Abby, Abby's bone marrow, a disease an illness knocked out her red blood cells, knocked out the bone marrow from producing red blood cells. As a result, her red blood cells just kept getting lower and lower. Average is about 14. Hers were down to 5.1, literally to the point where the heart is having to pump so fast the little bit of red blood that it has that her heart was starting to respond, and literally at any moment she could have a heart attack. A 2-year-old. But that's because the bone marrow was not producing the red blood cells. So how important is the marrow to our bones? Yeah, we don't get red blood. We don't get white blood cells without that marrow. So God's saying here, hey, fear me. Keep my commandments. Obey me. Read my word daily because I want to instruct you. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. And as a result, you will have a healthier life. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean, you know, we'll be healed of all our diseases, you know. But it does, it's a general principle of health. Okay? Verse 9. Let's read together. Verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Okay, how do we be led by God, as it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, following these principles? What's the second principle here? What should we also do? If we want to be led by God, what should we do for Him? Give. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of our increase. Give to the Lord that which is His. It's so important that we give to the Lord that first fruits. That if we want the rest of our fruits to be blessed, then we need to give to the Lord that which is His, the tithe, is the Old Testament. Actually, it's before the Old Testament. The tithe was incorporated before Moses and the law. When was the tithe started? Anybody remember? Who gave tithes of all? Abraham. And Abraham's before the Mosaic law. A lot of people say, oh no, you can't preach tithing in New Testament churches because that's Old Testament law. No, it's actually before Old Testament law. That's Abraham. Abraham gave tithes of all to Melchizedek, the high priest of Salem, where actually Jerusalem is now. That was Salem. And so here, Melchizedek represented the Lord. You say, well, before, when Abraham was around, there were no believers. No, there were still believers. There's always been believers. Why? Because Adam and Eve passed on the gospel, and they passed on through to the next generation's faith in God, and through the godly line of Seth, it got to be less and less, because the faithful, what happened? The faithful believers were marrying into the ungodly line of Cain. And the sons of God, the godly line of Seth, was saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and what'd they do? Well, they're so pretty. They can't be all bad, Yeah, it's an unequal yoke, and yeah, I'll have heartache, but it'll all work out. No, it didn't work out very well. As a result, their wives and their spouses turned them away from God. How sad that is. And that's why it's so important to have an equal yoke in marriage. And so here we see, give the first fruits to God. And so tithing predates the Mosaic Law. It says in the New Testament, from the Apostle Paul, from 1 and 2 Corinthians, that tithing was the base. Actually, New Testament giving is give. Hey, we're not bound by a certain amount in the New Testament. Give unto the Lord. Give more than you can, and God will bless you with that, and He will give you more. The principle in the New Testament is not just the tithe; it's to give because God is the great giver, and He will give you more in return. And because we love Him, and God loveth a cheerful giver. So we see number two, a way to be led by God is give the first fruits to God. Okay, start with that tithe, and sure enough, as the Lord blesses you, you'll see you're going to get more than 10% back. Each week I'm amazed how God gives more than 10% back. It's just amazing. Wow, Lord, I never saw that one coming. It's just amazing how we think, okay, I'm really sacrificing this week, Lord. Oh, here's that 10% or 15%. Oh, Lord, here it is, and we sometimes, just barely give it over, and then in return, something out of the blue, a phone call, a letter in the mail, this or that. Someone says, hey, I have this. Do you want it? Do you need it? Oh, Lord, yes, please. No, thank you, Lord. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. And so He says, ask, and ye shall receive. Ask, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Okay, and then we see in verse 11, so give generously to God. And then verse 11, let's read it together. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as the Father, the Son, in whom He delighteth. So here we see point number three, that let us not despise the chastening of the Lord. Let us not begrudge it. Let us not look on it as evil. If you go in the Hebrew, let's not look on it as something that, oh no, the Lord's chastening me again. No, it's not that attitude at all. We should be happy when the Lord takes time in His care to tenderly draw us back through discipline. As I mentioned last week, I wish my dad spanked me more as a kid, not less. Why? Because I appreciated that the boundaries that were set by Him, and as he applied the Word of God as a father, and so we say, oh, if only he would have done it more, or she, maybe your dad wasn't disciplinarian growing up because they weren't saved. Maybe it was your mom, and they were, you know, they helped give you boundaries. Well, that's what God does for us. God loves us, and He chastens us. And so He says, neither be weary of His correction. We should accept God's chastening hand in our life and love it, because that just proves that we are His children and not illegitimate sons or daughters. You know, we are truly the children of God, because that's why He corrects us, because He loves us and He doesn't want us to hurt. There was someone wrote an article, 35 Reasons I Don't Want to Sin, by a man named Jim Elif. He says, 35 reasons I don't want to sin, because my sin invites the discipline of God, because a little sin leads to more sin, because sin may keep me from qualifying for spiritual leadership, because the supposed benefits of my sin will never outweigh the consequences of disobedience, because repenting of my sin is a painful process, yet I must repent, because sin is a very brief pleasure for an eternal loss, because sin may influence others to sin, because my sin may keep others from knowing Christ, because sin makes light of the cross where Jesus died for the very purpose of taking away my sin, because it is impossible to sin and follow the Spirit at the same time. Okay, and these are just some of the reasons, I think, excellent, excellent reasons why we should not want to sin, why we should fear God enough to depart from evil. Because all these, there's so many reasons. The consequences trickle down. Because sins mixed with service make the things of God tasteless. You ever been there? Come to church and it's like, oh, come to church again. Oh boy, why does it feel like everyone else is happy but me? Why does it feel like, you know, everyone else is joyful in God, but I'm just like, oh, nothing's happening here. The lights are not going on. God's not really speaking to me. He feels a million miles away. Well, the reason is because we have some sin that we're harboring, and we need to confess it and forsake it, give it to God. And so these are just excellent things. Reasons not to stay in sin. Because the inhabitants of heaven and hell would all testify to the foolishness of this sin. You realize that? Everybody in heaven, everybody in hell right now they'd say, how stupid you are for being in sin. Why are you doing that sin? Why are you keeping that sin? Don't you realize it's hurting you as a Christian? Even the people in hell are saying, send someone to tell my loved ones about Jesus. Please don't sin. Tell them about Jesus. Live a pure life. You know, walk with God daily. Confess your sin. Forsake it. Walk with God daily. If you fall, rise up again, please, because my loved ones, I don't want them here with me in hell. That's what people in hell are saying right now. Hey, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, Jesus says it in Luke 16. Rich man and Lazarus. The rich man's in hell. He says, send Lazarus of my five brothers. Don't come here where I am. That's what they're saying in hell right now. They don't want you and I to stop being missionaries. They don't want you and I to stop being soul winners and to help people come to Christ. Jesus died for our sin, and it cost Him everything. It cost Him His own blood. It cost Him scorning, rejection. It cost Him His whole life. And so that's why we can't view sin as light. And so we see that God wants us to be soul winners. I just wanted to, in closing, I know we had a shorter time due to the different things that went on, but just want to close with a few of these. On one of my trips to Guatemala, a man named Mr. Burgess asked me whether I would give a few of the Guatemalan men special lessons in soul winning. Just imagine trying to teach this man when you hear the story. Anselmo, from Guatemala, was sitting in the fourth seat back. While speaking, I turned to this old man and said, "Tell me, Anselmo, how many have you led to Jesus this year?" This was about the 12th of February, only 2 months in. The old man's face fell. He said, "Ah, Señor, very few." I said, "Tell me, how many?" He said, "There are not more than 30, Señor." Early in July of that year, I received a letter from this old man, and it contained a list of 144 whom he had led to Christ before the 1st of July. That would be a life work for most Christians in America. Wow, doesn't that sober you up a bit? Christians in other lands, they know what's most important because they don't have all the stuff that we have, and they're not deluded by it. As we are here in America, we need to get back to winning people to Christ and witnessing to them, telling them the great love that Jesus has. Everyone knows of Heinz, of the 57 varieties, that Heinz, but very few know of his zeal as a soul winner. This was, of course, a few generations ago. At a revival meeting one day, the preacher turned to Mr. Heinz and said, "You are a Christian man. Why aren't you up and at it?" He went home in anger and went to bed but could not sleep. At 4 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Heinz prayed to God that God would make him a power in his work and then went to sleep. At the next meeting of bank presidents, which he attended shortly afterward, he turned to the man next to him and spoke to him of the Christian life. His friend looked at him in amazement and said, "I've wondered many times why you never spoke to me about it if you really believed in Christ." That man was the first of 267 souls which Heinz won to Christ after that time. So every time you have some ketchup, think of the man who started that. He was a soul winner. You and I, we are called to be going after people with the gospel of Christ as his ambassadors. There was a Sunday school teacher who mailed successively 10 cards to a girl who had been absent. When the last one was posted, the teacher met the girl's mother on the street who said, "You need not mail Mary any more cards." "Why?" asked the astonished teacher. "We buried her last week." Who can foretell the difference if the hand used to write a card had reached a little farther to ring a doorbell? Sometimes we think, "Oh, I'll have more time to tell my family about Jesus. I'll have more time with the kids, the grandkids. I'll have more time with the brothers and the sisters and the mom and dad." But we don't know when that day's coming, when God's going to call them to face him. We've got to realize now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. In a southern city, a pastor was working on a sermon one afternoon. A sudden impulse came to speak to a young man in his place of business. Immediately he went downtown and in a few minutes led that young man to the Lord. Later, when the young man went jubilantly home, he found all except his father at the supper table. Walking into the living room, he saw his father and joyously said, "Dad, I was saved a little while ago." The father looked up with tears in his eyes and said, "Son, 24 hours ago I became so troubled about your salvation that I vowed before God neither to eat nor drink, but only to pray until you were saved. But I told no one of my purpose." In desperate need, the father had cried from the depth of his heart, and God heard him. Is anything too hard for God? That one man got serious about his son not being saved. 24 hours, God sent a Christian to witness to him. That's what God wants to do. There are people all over our community who are crying out, "What is life all about? What? How can I be forgiven of sin?" But if you and I don't speak up for God, how can we tell them? We need to give what we have, and that is the gospel message. We need to help Christians who are discouraged, Christians who are deluded by the modern churches, saying, "Oh, you know, this is the way it is now. You just have to be satisfied with the status quo Christianity, because that's all there is now. You know, no, we don't have revivals anymore." No, that's not the way it is. Modern Christianity is not the way Christians have to live. Invite them to come to a church where the Bible is still being preached, where souls are still being saved, where Christians are still growing. That's what we need. We need old-time Christianity like they had it in the New Testament, where souls were saved daily. That's what we need, but you and I have to realize what blocks that from happening in our lives, of us being a channel of the Holy Spirit's power and God's blessing and salvation. What stops it is sin. We need to fear God enough to depart from evil and say, oh God, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here today, you say, Pastor Rice, you know, I don't know for sure. If I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or to hell. But I realize that Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, He was the perfect Son of God, and He died on that cross for my sins, and I want to believe on Him as my Savior. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. As there is your seat. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. I want to believe on Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. See, that's me, Pastor. I want to be saved. As a Christian, you say, Pastor Rice, you know, I don't know for sure. Or I know for sure. I know that I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. And I want that work that God wants to do in my life this summer. I want this summer to be fruitful for God. I want to be able to lead someone to the Lord this summer. I want to be a messenger of His gospel, and I want to not let any sin get in the way between me and God so that I can have the energy and the Spirit-filled power to be able to do the Christian work that God wants me to do. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. Amen, amen, amen. All over the building, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be reminded of these great truths that You want to lead us in life every day. But it's up to us whether we want to be led by You or not. Whether we want to forsake and confess our sin or not. Lord, help us to see sin as such a grievance to You and such a hurt to You that we love You so much that we don't ever want anything to get in the way between us and You. Lord, give us that heart for You that we all so desperately need. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn book as we close this service. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Number 550. 550. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. And if you're not saved, you say, you know, I'm not saved yet. I don't know 100% for sure if I'd go to heaven or hell. Would you come, take me by hand and say, Pastor, I want to know. We'll have someone take you to a private room and they can show you from the Bible how you can know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you have a friend who's not saved. Tell them, hey, I'll come up with you. Would you come up with them so that they can know the joy of being saved? Would you come as we sing this song, 550?
Softly and Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me.
Would you come, Christian, perhaps to pray for the loved one that is not saved yet in your family? Maybe the neighbor? Maybe the co-worker? Would you come and pray for them and ask God to use you? Come home, come home, ye who
confess, and that we can confess any sin between us and the Lord. Help us to walk your way. We praise your holy name in Jesus' name.